may seem a little bit strange at Christmas, but I want to talk to you this morning about fear, simply because as we read through the different Christmas accounts in the Scriptures, we find that word occurring over and over again. I don't know if there's anything that you're afraid of, but I know some people, and they're afraid of flying on planes. And the voice, the story is told about a voice coming on the tannoy in the airplane on one particular occasion. The voice said this, "We are now flying at 35,000 feet. If you will notice, out of the right window, the two engines on that side are on fire, and the engines on the left-hand side have stopped. If you look directly below, you will see a yellow sea recovery raft with six small dots on it. The dots are the pilot, co-pilot, flight engineer, navigator, and two hostesses. This is a recording." Well, I imagine if you were on that particular plane, you would have good reason to be afraid. But I wonder what it is you most fear in life. I reckon that most people fear something. Perhaps it is the loss of life. Perhaps it is the loss of their good health. Maybe it is the loss of family members. And these are probably the most feared things in life. Fear tends to grab hold of us at some stage in our lives. I was just saying the other day that one of the things... Oops. I thought it was somebody over there still. That's one of my fears in life. Maybe you didn't hear the bang there, but anyway, I did. But one of the fears that I would have now is going up somewhere really high. It used to be no problem to me, and I remember it first struck me a number of years ago whenever Hazel and I were on holiday in England. I think it was England, but there was one of these free fall things that you could slide down, a free fall slide, and I got up to the top of it, and I sat on the edge, and I just could not push myself off. Hazel, she slid down it, and she went round. She came back up, and she sat beside me. She says, "Have you not gone yet?" And I says, "No." She said, "Well, I'm away again." Away she went, and I still sat on at the edge there, and I pushed myself over, and I looked down, and thought, "Oh, no way. I'm going to hit my head on that." And the guy says, "No." He says, "Nobody's ever hit their head on it." And I says, "Well, I'm going to be the first." And I sat, and Hazel must have gone up and down it 10 times as I sat there. And eventually, I just walked away from it. So I've got to the stage where, yes, there's a little bit of a fear regarding that in my mind. And I don't know if you watch the I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here thing, but as I watch that, I think to myself, you would have to be pretty crazy to want to go into that jungle, wouldn't you? Because you've got to eat spiders and cockroaches and snakes and rats, and there's green ants bite your legs and crocodiles snap at you. It is the stuff of nightmares. Perhaps for those of us who are Christians, our fears are different to those who aren't Christians. Perhaps it is the fear of being marginalized as Christians today. We see the vitriol shown against anyone who doesn't agree with the whole LGBT drive of our society today. Or we even think of something as simple as Donald Trump. By the way, I'm not saying whether I agree or disagree with Donald Trump's policies, but just in one simple thing, he sent out a Christmas card that happened to say Merry Christmas on the front of it, and he's being lambasted for sending that out. It should have been one that said Season's Greetings on it. You're not allowed to mention Christ at Christmas anymore, and maybe that is something that strikes an element of fear into the hearts of those of us who are Christians. Perhaps it is fear of persecution that robs you of your night's sleep. What about Christmas? Do any of us fear Christmas? Perhaps you fear the run-up to it every year and how poor you're going to feel after Christmas. Maybe it's the fear of not quite buying the right present. What do we husbands get our wives whenever they have everything? Well, they have everything when they have us anyway, don't they? What do we get them when they have everything that they need. And maybe we're a little frightened of that. Maybe it's going to visit the in-laws at Christmas. Maybe that's what strikes fear into your heart. We don't tend to associate fear with the Christmas story. But let me tell you that it is right there. So what would God say about fear? And what did he say about it in that first Christmas? Well, the first thing he said was, "Fear not the arrival." A man and his wife were making their first visit to the doctor after the wife discovering that she was pregnant with their first child. Not a lot of time had gone by since they'd discovered that she was pregnant, so it was very early on in the pregnancy. And after the doctor had checked everything out, the doctor took a small stamp and stamped the wife's stomach with the indelible ink. Well, the couple was somewhat curious, and whenever they got home, they got out the magnifying glass to try to see what had been stamped on the wife's stomach. And in very tiny little letters, the stamp said, "When you can read this without a magnifying glass, come back and see me." Well, verses 4 and 5 of the passage we read there in Matthew chapter 2 tell us about the journey that Mary and Joseph had to make this very first Christmas. And I'm sure that there was anticipation and concern that they felt at this time. They were making their way to Bethlehem, and maybe they were worried in their minds, are we going to make it before Mary goes into labor? Perhaps they were concerned about whether the baby would be healthy and well. Would Mary herself survive the pregnancy? And once the baby is born, how are they going to make ends meet? We must remember that the typical age for getting married back in those days would have been in early teens. So Mary was probably 13 or 14 years of age. So they were bound to have fears and concerns. You know, it's not that terribly long since Abigail was born, and I can remember the sense of trepidation as it came up towards the birth itself. We knew that there was only one way for that bump to disappear. And we knew that it was going to require pain. And we knew that it would even be painful for Hazel. All of that fear and trepidation was in our minds leading up to the birth. And we can imagine what it must have been like for Mary and Joseph as well. Here they are, these young teenagers, and this is most definitely a life-changing situation. This was why the angel appeared, first of all, to Mary, and then also to Joseph, to tell them what was happening. It was all a bit of a tall order. They were being told that this wasn't going to be any ordinary child that they were having, but this was the Son of God. This was the Messiah who had been promised from long, long ago, and they were going to have the incredible responsibility of rearing the Son of God. They weren't told exactly where the baby would be born, and so whenever they reached Bethlehem, they tried the inn, but there was no room for them in the inn. And I can't help thinking that there must have been an incredible sense of apprehension about how they would bring up the Son of God. How would Joseph cope raising a child that wasn't his own, especially one born of a virgin? The virgin birth has kind of taken a bit of a battering over the years, even from some who claim to be Christians. It leaves some Christians fearing that there was no such thing as the virgin birth. But here's the problem. If we take out this miracle from Christmas, then what else do we need to take out of Scripture? If we decide that we're not going to believe in this part of the story of God's redemptive plan, then what else are we going to say never actually took place? Removing the virgin birth leaves us on really shaky ground. Larry King, the former talk show host, was once asked who he would most want to interview from all of history. He replied without taking a breath, "Jesus Christ." The questioner said, "And what would you like to ask him?" King replied, "I would like to ask him if he indeed was virgin born. The answer to that question would define history for me." And he was right. The virgin birth defines history for most people. If Jesus indeed was born of a virgin, then he was who he claimed to be. Then he truly was the Messiah, the only one who could die on the cross for our sins, because he needed to be born in a sinless way. He needed to live a sinless life in order that he could die as that perfect, spotless Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. Fear not the arrival. But then another fear not that we find regarding the birth of Jesus was, fear not the angel. Verse 9 we read, "After they had heard the king, they went on their way. The star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was." As we read on, as we read through the story, we find how the angel appeared and how the angel spoke to them. You can imagine how this angel appearing to them must have terrified them. We read about the shepherds, and we read about the angel appearing to the shepherds. They were very ordinary shepherds. They were out in the fields going about their normal duty. Invariably in the scriptures, we find the appearance of angels to be somewhat frightening to people. Well, that's understandable, isn't it? The angels are otherworldly. And sometimes when we find the appearance of an angel, it's speaking of God's judgment. And so we can understand how Mary and Joseph and how also the shepherds out in the field would be terrified at the sight of these angels. These angels have abilities that are far beyond man, to appear and disappear at will, and to appear in different forms. And the birth of Jesus was so special that we see more than the one angel in action. We see an angel appearing to Zechariah, to Mary, to Joseph, and to the shepherds. And it shows us that God was doing something truly special, that God was at work in this situation. What was happening here wasn't mundane or run-of-the-mill. This was something that would mark all of history from that moment on. This was something that would change the world. What was the message that the angel brought? "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Although the person of the angel terrified the shepherds, they were told that on this occasion they had no need to fear. The angel there wouldn't do them any harm. Perhaps today we do not see angels as they once were seen in the Bible times. Although we may not know that the angels are active around us, yet they are. I believe the angels are still very active today. And is it possible that anybody could meet an angel at any moment? Yes, and we may not know. Hebrews 1 verse 14 says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" Billy Graham tells the story of Dr. S.W. Mitchell. Dr. Mitchell had gone to bed after an exceptionally tiring day. Suddenly, he was awakened by someone knocking on his door. Opening it, he found a little girl, poorly dressed and deeply upset. She told him her mother was very sick and asked him if he would please come with her. It was a bitterly cold, snowy night, but though he was bone-tired, Dr. Mitchell dressed and followed the little girl. He found the mother desperately ill with pneumonia. After arranging for medical care, he complimented the sick woman on the intelligence and persistence of her little daughter. The woman looked at him strangely and then said, "My daughter died a month ago." She added, "Her shoes and coat are in the clothes closet there." Dr. Mitchell, amazed and perplexed, went to the closet and opened the door. There hung the very coat worn by the little girl who had brought him to attend to her mother. It was warm and dry and could not possibly have been out in the wintry night. Billy Graham went on to ask, "Could the doctor have been called in the hour of desperate need by an angel who appeared as this woman's young daughter? Was this the work of God's angel on behalf of the sick woman?" We don't know. But the Bible certainly tells us that angels are active today. The angels appeared in a very physical form at that time of the first Christmas. But isn't it an encouragement to know that today those of us who are Christians know that those angels fight on our behalf in spiritual realms, and that they are still active in helping Christians today. Fear not the angel. And then lastly, fear not the announcement. What was the announcement the angel brought? "I bring you good news of great joy." There are times when we are fearful of the news that we are going to hear. A policeman standing on the doorstep, well, that strikes fear into our hearts. The solicitor on the phone with us. For me, seeing Trevor Logan's number coming up on the phone. All of those strike a sense of fear into our hearts. We're frightful of the announcement that we are going to hear. And I'm sure the shepherds that night were not only frightened of the angels, but they were wondering if the message that they were going to hear from the angels would be one that would speak of destruction for them, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Was their message going to be one of bad news? You see, sometimes the word of the Lord brought with it a sense of heaviness and burden. We read in Jonah chapter 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, "Go and preach against the city of Nineveh." This was a difficult message that he had to bear. Indeed, the word for word here on this occasion means burden. It was a burden to preach against the people of Nineveh. Think of the word brought to prophets like Isaiah, Elijah, and Jeremiah. Their message that they had to bear was one of condemnation, meaning that they would be hated by the majority of the people. And I'm sure the shepherds were worried that this word they would hear from the angels would be one of condemnation. "But no," says the angel, "don't be afraid. Don't be upset. Because this is glad tidings of great joy. I can tell you about a baby that has been born." You know, one of the most pleasant tasks of my job is going to visit little babies that have just been born. It's lovely to see the joy in their parents' eyes. And at that stage, they have no idea about the sleepless nights that lie ahead. But it's lovely to see the joy in their eyes and the parents and the wider family circle all gathering around and all cooing over this beautiful little bundle of sleeplessness and poo and boke and other things. And it's lovely to see this happen, but it is just one of those lovely occasions, isn't it, whenever a little baby is born. It's a good message to bring that a baby has been born. And that's the message that these angels brought. It was good news. You know, we must never be ashamed to share that good news. It is literally for all people. people from all over the world. No one nation, no one tribe can claim Jesus Christ as their own. It is glad tidings of great joy for all people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David, what? A Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This little baby, the Son of the living God, is the one who has been born to deal with man's greatest problem, his sin. And the condemnation and the wrath that he deserves as a result of that sin. But how different things would have been if those shepherds had stayed on the field and not gone to see this baby who had been born. How different it would have been if the Magi had not followed the star and traveled all that way to see Jesus. How different things would have been. The Savior? Well, the Savior wouldn't have made any difference to them. And today, this Christmas, you can hear the glad tidings of great joy. You can hear about this baby that has been born. You can hear so much of joy at Christmas, but you miss out on that joy in your hearts until you come to know Jesus as your Savior. And is your Lord. Will you receive him this Christmas? Jesus changes lives. He always has. He still does. This is good news. The best news. As a Christian, are you sharing it? Are you using the opportunity this Christmas to reclaim it for Jesus Christ? It's not about season's greetings. It's not about happy holiday. It's about Merry Christmas. Christ at the center of Christmas. Are you sharing the good news? Have you received the good news? Why not trust in Jesus as your Savior and your Lord today? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that we do not need to fear when we know Jesus as our Savior and Lord today. We thank you that we do not need to fear the future, because we know if we're trusting in Jesus Christ, that one day he will come and take us by the hand, and he will lead us through those gates into glory itself. Lord, we realize that when that time comes, we will be better by far, because we'll be absent from the body and at home with the Lord. Lord, we pray for those who as yet do not know Jesus. We realize that that fear of the future still exists in their hearts. But today they do not need to fear if they will receive Jesus Christ, if they will trust in him. And Lord, for those of us who are your children, help us to bear that good news of Christ to others, that we would not be ashamed of Jesus Christ in this generation, but that we would realize that this message of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for those who will believe. So, Lord, we pray that you would speak on to us over this Christmas period, as we pray through Jesus our Lord. Amen.